Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to episode 723 of the Overseas Connection podcast. Today's February 26, 2023. And my name is Greg DeLacy, gamertag Murphy's Law, OC underscore Murphy's Law on Twitter. And joining me on this fine Sunday afternoon, I have three people, including myself. I always do that. I don't know why. It's because I see three people up on my screen, but I have two fine young people. I say young in quotes. We have calling in from the Hermit Cave, Kim Woods.
Howdy, howdy. That's me, GamerGirl27, just about everywhere. Happy to be here. And if I sound like an 80-year-old man with a smoking habit, I do apologize, but I'm still a little under the weather. So.
Okay.
Yep.
We'll take that, Kim.
Alrighty.
Gonna adjust my camera here for a split sec. Also on the podcast, calling in from God knows where, but lovely curtains nonetheless. Robin Tate on the podcast.
Hey everybody, it's Robin here. Bummer to see you. I'm in a hotel room nowhere near you, 340 miles away from home once again, and I'm just glad to be able to have strong enough internet Wi-Fi in the hotel room to actually take part. So I'm here. I have a can of or two of Captain Morgan's and some Reese's Cups and some podcast buddies to have a chat with. So yeehaw.
Yeehaw, indeed.
Indeed. Yep.
So if you're not familiar with the podcast, you know, we kind of go through the rigmarole here, but you know, this is the pre-show stuff. So first and foremost, we are on every Sunday, 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. on the West Coast. I'm nice enough. I actually call these out, unlike the UK brothers. 4 p.m. in the East Coast and 3 p.m. Central Time Zone. Of course, if you are in any other time zone, well, you can figure that out yourself. We are on Twitch. We are on YouTube, hopefully broadcasting just fine for you. We do have – did we talk about Nick's birthday last week? I don't think we did. Nick is turning a young 41 this week. So Nick Auld, 41, this coming March 4th, I believe. So happy birthday to Nick. Nick, we don't have birthday sound effects right now. My sound effect board decided to crap out on us right as we were going into the podcast. It won't connect up. I think we should sing. So Robin, you start us off.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear.
Insert your name here.
Happy birthday to you.
The most pathetic birthday song ever.
There we go.
Ding.
Custom birthday sound effects. It doesn't get any better than that. Okay, so we're going to change things up a little bit on the show today. I thought, you know what? Let's change it up. Let's do things differently. And so normally we start off, we get into story time and we go through that. But instead, this week, we're going to dive into the news first. We're going to hit the news hard and then we're going to circle back into what we've been doing. We'll also get a community email we'll talk through. So lots of stuff to cover. So let's dive into it. This is the fucking news.
Wow, I actually thought you were going to go straight to the end of the show, but okay. those guys, DICE, they're going to be holding a co-developer on the next Battlefield single-player campaign. It's been announced that Battlefield Ridgeline Studios, Battlefield Studios, being led. I'm going to start that again.
Yeah. Robin, how many drinks are we in today?
No, we're going to start it. I'm working tomorrow. September, EA officially revealed that Ridgeline Games... I could spend all day in the hotel room and say I was sick, couldn't I? September, EA officially revealed Ridgeline Games, a new Battlefield studio being led by Halo co-creator Marcus Leto. The Seattle-based company was established late 2021 and has been staffing up for its debut project, which will be a narrative campaign in the Battlefield universe. Now, Swedish studio DICE is building a new team that will support Ridgeline Games on the project. DICE is also currently working on a future multiplayer experience for Battlefield series, while LA-based Ripple Effect is creating a completely different Battlefield project.
So this excites me. I miss a... Even though the single-player games haven't been terribly good for Battlefield,
yeah,
I do miss them. And right. It feels a little bit incomplete. So I'm glad to see they're realizing they need to have that single player element.
Yeah, I like Battlefield games. They're all, I think we talked about this last week, and they always felt a bit, the sound quality of them was always fabulous.
Yeah.
And they always felt a bit more visceral than some of the other games. So, good single player stuff is what we want. Multiplayer shouldn't always be the focus. Also, just there was a PlayStation State of Play recap. I don't know if you've watched through this. I haven't. I've caught bits and pieces of it.
I actually
third-party games.
Yeah. All these notes are my hand notes coming from actually just kind of going back through the event.
Your notes here. I mean, there's five new VR games: Foglands, Green Hells, Synapse, Journey to Foundation, and Before Your Eyes. They sound like new.
Real quickly. So we'll kind of talk through this a little bit. Kim, did you watch the State of Play at all?
I did not. I didn't even know it was happening. So
fail boat for the two of you. I will just say this about the new VR games coming that they announced. There was nothing particularly special about them. They didn't like blow you away visually. I don't think they did anything special from a gameplay experience. So right. I do have like this was not a great like first foot forward to say, hey, here's some more VR games coming to you, and they just did not like wow you. So there was that. The rest of the show I thought actually picked up a little bit better. So it started off with a bit of a wet thud, but then some of the other releases were actually halfway decent, and so I think ultimately this show is between, for me at least, a B, C. But let's go through the rest of the stuff, Robin.
Yeah, because last week we did talk about a lot about the launches or new releases, and there was a ton of ports over to the PlayStation VR. So it was nice. Right. The new releases thing was absolutely packed. So Destiny 2 Lightfall DLC, Tisha, March 21st, launches day one on PlayStation.
Yeah,
plus PlayStation Plus. Okay, so yeah, that's free with your subscription on day one. Okay. Is that a first?
It's not a first. They did that with Stray, I believe. Stray launched right into the PlayStation Plus catalog. I think they're going to do this with some spot indie games here and there. I still think they're absolutely going to stick to their guns of not having any of their big first-party AAA games launch day and date into the service. So this is a way for them to kind of be competitive in that arena, but not really have a big investment.
Yeah, and your new monthly games are Battlefield 2042, Minecraft Dungeons, and Code Vein. Again, the quality of that is pretty good compared to what the Xbox side of things has been of late. Catalog games? What are catalog games?
So the monthly games are the ones that you get for free that you get to keep. So Battlefield 2042, Minecraft Dungeons, and Code Vein will all be, if you download it, you buy it, and Xbox Live Gold. So the catalog games are the premium service. And so that is the one where you have to, you subscribe up into it and you have to pay more. You're paying for the premium service and then you get to stream those games and download them, but you don't keep them.
Okay. So there's Tisha, R6 Extraction, Immortals Phoenix Rising, Ghostwire Tokyo, Uncharted Legacy of Thieves Collection. And if you've never played Uncharted games, or at least watch the YouTube stream of them. There's something wrong with you.
Oddly enough, for some reason, Kim, your camera just went down. I don't know why.
Skype has been extra Skypey, it seems. So I'm not sure what's going on. Because you guys broke up every now and again. So.
Yep.
You've also got Humanity from the maker of Tetris Effect in May. Goodbye Volcano High in June. And Naruto Boruto Ultimate Ninja Storm Connections sometime in 2023. Baldur's Gate 3 in August. Wayfinder, which is an MPRPG. And the beta is on PlayStation on February the 28th. So that'll be there to check out for you. Street Fighter 6 update with lots of new characters sometime in June. Resident Evil 4, March 24th. And there's a demo of it coming very, very soon. And Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League in May. So those are the things that they talked about at their state of play. So you said it started with a damp squib and got better.
It wasn't the greatest, but you know, again, it finished up better. I mean, Street Fighter looks great. You know, Resident Evil 4 is a very beloved game, so I think a lot of people like that. Suicide Squad, I think, also was a bit hit and miss for people. Some people really liked what they saw. A lot of people thought it felt kind of generic and, you know, a little bit repeat and rinse. excuse me. The one thing I noted with that is the characters, they kind of feel very samey. Like, the, you know, they all kind of have guns to them when their characters in real life didn't necessarily always have guns. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
And this one's interesting. I wonder where this chap will end up. Shinji Mikami is leaving Tango Gameworks. Bethesda senior president Todd Vaughan confirmed that Mikami is set to sit down from the studio he founded. In the email, Vaughan reportedly writes, "I am writing today to let you know that the studio head, Shinji Mikami, has decided to leave Tango Gameworks in the coming months. Mikami-san has been creative director and supportive mentor to young developers at Tango for 12 years. Through his work on Evil Within franchise, Ghostwire Tokyo, and of course Hi-Fi Rush, one of Greg's favourites at the moment, Bethesda spokesperson said, we wish Mikami-san well in the future and excited by what lies ahead for the talented developers that he's leaving behind all alone at Tango."
I think there was speculation back in 2019 that he might have, you know, wanted to leave, but he decided to stay on through kind of the transition. And obviously with COVID hitting, I guess he was a little fearful for their future. Yeah. But I think now that they're, you know, within Microsoft and not just underneath the Bethesda umbrella and the success of Hi-Fi Rush, I feel like Tango Gameworks, they're in a good spot. And I don't know if he's really going to go on to something else or if he's just going to retire, because I guess he's like 59. So it's kind of that age where you start to think, well, maybe I just hang it up or maybe I consult on something, you know, but not necessarily doing the grind anymore. So
yeah, he could appear at shows throughout the world and demand a big fee to keep him in pocket money every year at this moment in time. Ukraine's government. Wants, this is a semi-political thing. The Ukraine's government wants toxic atomic heart pulled from sale over Russia links. It has become the subject of controversy over its ties to Russia, including claims that the Russian government stands to benefit financially from its release due to the majority of ownership of investors in the game. In a statement initially issued to a Ukrainian website, Ukraine's Deputy Minister of Digital Transformation, wow, imagine getting that job, Alex Borakomukov, urged platform holders to limit distribution of the game in other countries too. Regarding the situation with the release of the game Atomic Heart, which has Russian roots and romanticized communist ideology and the Soviet Union, the Ministry of Digital Transformation of Ukraine will send an official letter to Sony, Microsoft, and Valve requesting a ban on selling digital versions of the game in Ukraine, he said. We are also urged limiting the distribution of the game in other countries due to its toxicity, potential data collection of users, and the potential use of money raised from the game purchases to conduct a war against Ukraine. Okay. I get it.
I don't think that the money they're going to raise from this game is really going to fund the Russian war machine.
Yeah. What was that? What's the semi-horror one again? There's been three of them. And you're usually down it was in Russia. And you're in the subways.
Oh God. I'm drawing a blank.
Subway system. You were in the subway system and you were like a Russian soldier in the post-apocalypse.
Oh, Metro. Metro Exodus.
Yeah. Surely, was that not all Russian based? And
I believe so. In
Russia and Ukraine, and I mean, where do you start and stop with that? That someone, a business person in Russia, I don't know. It's it's on every level, from sports, from Formula One down, you know, some young fella who's racing in Formula One loses his ride because his dad's a Russian businessman, sort of thing. And I don't know, where is the exit route for all of this stuff? And it's very sad, very horrible.
It is tough. You don't have really a good answer to it either, you know.
No. Okay, so Forza Horizon 5, second expansion, Rally Adventure, has been revealed. Off during a live stream, Rally Adventure takes place notionally north of the original Mexico map, and will be released March 29th. The expansion will feature an entirely new system of deformable terrain. It means you can wreck your car on the terrain in order to accurately simulate the weather and mud effects, which are key to the rally experience. The expansion is included in the premium add-on bundle, which also includes the game's previous expansion. So, yeah, Forza Horizon 5 keeps on going strong.
Yeah, it was interesting that they just kind of announced this. You know, it wasn't part of the stream from the previous week. It was, you know, the developer diary thing. You know, they're just kind of rolling it out as part of the add-on.
Just a couple of weeks away. Right?
Yeah.
And this is interesting, too. And to me, especially, the Xbox Game Pass Friends and Family Plan has been added to six more countries. The service, which lets up to five players share Game Pass benefits for a discounted price, launched in Ireland. No good to me. I know I'm in Ireland right now, but and in Colombia in September. Microsoft announced on Tuesday that the service will now arrive in New Zealand, South Africa, Chile, Hungary. Israel and Sweden, bringing the total number of participating countries to 8. There's still no word yet when friends and family will come to a larger market such as North America, the UK. Hurry up. Because, I mean, I have that goal thing, and it's a pain in the butt because, you know, we have multiple Xboxes in the house and one has to be logged in and you only have two Xboxes running at one time, and there's a need in our house to run three at one time, and that means they can't piggyback my my subscription, which is a pain. Mm-hmm. So, hopefully that'll come soon. PlayStation has 70% share of the global console market compared to Xbox's 30%, Microsoft claims. The company president, Brad Smith, made the claim during a press conference. It's a claim? And the press conference on Tuesday after Microsoft presented arguments of why its proposed acquisition, here we go again, of Activision Blizzard should be approved at the European Commission hearing. Think about the market in Europe. It's a market where Sony has 80% share, he said, via Games Industry. .biz. Globally, it's about 70-30. In Japan, it's 96-4. These numbers have been remarkably steady for two decades. Even last year, when there were issues with the Sony supply chain, they came back strong. Smith, who said PlayStation outsold Xbox by 63-31 towards the end of 2022, seemingly didn't provide figures for Microsoft's biggest market, the United States. Tuesday's hearing, of course, they pick a hole in that. Tuesday's hearing allowed Microsoft to address the statement of objections it recently received about the $69 billion takeover. So, surprising that. And you know what? It tells me that all the cool kids are with Microsoft. They're not with all the popular stuff, like the 70%. We cut our own route.
Well, you know, this, of course, was, you know, this was a big press conference they held. It was actually following, I believe, the meeting they had with the EU Commission, talking about the the big trade deal, the big acquisition deal, and in essence, kind of presenting their arguments for why it should go through. Now, part of that was the next two things that are the two bullet points that are in this news story, which is one, Microsoft announced they actually had a legal, now binding 10-year agreement to bring Call of Duty to Nintendo platforms, assuming, again, the Activision deal goes through. So they have that in place already. And then they also, in a separate announcement, made a deal with NVIDIA to bring Xbox and PC games to the cloud gaming streaming service GeForce Now. Again, a 10-year partnership deal that is legal binding, again, upon approval of the Activision deal. So these were kind of their ways of saying, you know, hey, you had concerns about cloud gaming and us being the sole kind of, you know, person there, gorilla, you know, if you will, in the market. We're gonna include NVIDIA, who is an absolute competitor, but I think Microsoft wants, you know, the more people playing in the cloud, honestly, benefits them. The more it becomes kind of a standard thing, it will benefit them. And then obviously Nintendo, you know, it's there, you know, in addition to saying, you know, we also have the same deal for Sony. They just haven't taken it yet, but Nintendo agreed to it. They've signed off on it. Also not in this news story, but really kind of a big deal is Tencent, who they apparently have stated they do not have a problem with the acquisition. Now, I think they're selfishly doing that because this is potentially freeing up the runway for them to make a future acquisition down the line. But, you know, they are one of the biggest competitors to, you know, Microsoft, Sony and Nintendo in terms of the, you know, global publishers. And so it really kind of this puts Sony and I think NetEase is the other Chinese company that might be in opposition of this deal. And NetEase is in opposition of it because of what happened with them at Activision. They had a falling out. And so Activision pulled their games off the NetEase platform. But, you know, again, it really puts Sony into a corner a bit. They're trying to paint this picture of, look, everybody's on board with this, and we're making deals with everybody to ensure the, you know, Call of Duty is on all these platforms and that we're not, you know, we're not boxing anybody out, and we will do that for Sony as well. So it was a smart move. I guess a lot of the press didn't like the way Brad Smith came out afterwards and kind of, you know, it was a bit, you know, of a show, you know, a little bit of the circus show, you know, have a press conference and like he pulled the agreement out of his pocket and he's like, you know, this is the agreement with Sony. I have it in my pocket every day for them to sign. You know, it's theatrics, but I think it did the job that they needed it to do, which is paint this picture of they're making behavioral changes, which is something the CMA hinted at, but the CMA actually stated that they had not reviewed any of the potential behavioral changes that Microsoft had suggested before. So when they came out against this merger, they were just kind of like on the face of it without taking anything else into consideration. We're against it so far.
Theatrics would be Sony coming out and holding up the contract and ripping it a la State of the Union address, Nancy Pelosi. That would be theatrics.
that definitely would be some theatrics.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. That's the news.
So, yeah. So that's the news.
Happening. Things are happening. Yeah.
So for those joining late, we decided to do something different. We led off with the news. And there we go. We covered some of the news. Now we're going to dive into what's been going on with us. Again, I'd love to play a story time sound effect, but don't have it. So instead, you're just going to get us talking about what's been going on. I'll go first because last week was insane. So I was all ready to jump onto the podcast last week about, I don't know, 45 minutes-ish before the podcast was supposed to start.
Not to be the selfish person, but I was all feet up, ready for a night off.
Yes, you were ready. Yeah, Robin, you had asked to see, you know, if you could have the night off, and I was like, you know what, go for it. We've got Pete, we've got Phil, myself, we'll handle it. And so I was, you know, getting ready, and then I got a phone call, and it was from one of my sisters, basically telling me, hey, Dad is in a very bad way right now. He's had a rash that's been going on, kind of in his lower half of his body. His legs have been swelling. He can barely move now. Mom is freaked out. She's crying. He needs to go to ER. He does not want to go to ER without somebody being there. And so I literally dropped everything, packed a bag, told you guys, and you guys were awesome again. Thank you to Phil. Thank you to Pete. Thank you, Robin, for coming back on to the show when you didn't want to and covering for me. But I basically took off and drove about 2.5 hours over the Sierra straight to my parents' house, got my dad, and he was absolutely, you know, it was ugly. Both his legs were, you know, really swollen to where like you couldn't see his ankles anymore. His knees were just giant puffs, and it was all extremely painful, this rash that had been going on. And
I'm sorry, so to be clear, your dad is a good big fit man. And
yeah, normally he used to, back in around the October, November timeframe, he was walking about 3.5 miles every day. He'd bring his little weight set with him. And he took a little bit of not a fall, but it was a stumble. And about an hour after that stumble, he kind of just didn't have the energy to do the walking anymore. And at that point, quite honestly, everything started going downhill gradually. I did not know how bad it was going down gradually until, you know, we saw him in the January timeframe, December, January. And we were like, you know, hey, you should be seeing your doctor. You know, let's get this looked at. And he went through a lot of back and forth with a couple different doctors. He actually left the doctor, went to a new doctor, and finally found a third doctor. And that doctor had scheduled a CT for him and done a bunch of blood work and stuff, but nothing was definitive yet. They were trying to treat this rash with some topical ointment. Now, granted, the rash, you know, gentlemen, you'll appreciate this, and I'm sure Kim, you can probably appreciate this as well. But you know, it had progressed, you know, in between his legs, around his testicle area, and it was starting to, because of friction, and when you have a rash there and you're not properly treating it, it starts chafing, it starts to scab over, and then suddenly your skin's sticking together and it's tearing, and it became this just gigantic problem on top of everything else. So,
you know what they say, Greg? Things in life go along very gradually, and then they move very quickly.
Yes. Yeah. And so, you know, we're sitting there, we're like, holy crap. And so, my dad had thought he might have broken his leg back when he did that stumble fall.
Okay.
And at that point, he went and got an X-ray, and that came back negative. Well, we're thinking at this point, well, maybe he actually did something to his hip. And so there might be an injury in his hip. And so that was kind of the thought process for the past 3 months of, you know, try and get it checked out, find out what's going on with that. And of course, my dad was dealing with all of his insurance crap on top of it. And so I apologize. This is a very long-winded story. It's going to take some crazy turns in a second. So we get him to ER. We get him admitted. My dad, this entire time, had not wanted to go to ER. He had been avoiding going to ER because he thought that was not a good place for him to go, because of all the sick people in ER, and he had a compromised immune system. And so he was worried about getting sick. And I'm like, no, Dad, this is precisely where you need to go, because they can run a bunch of tests all at once in a, you know, a small amount of time. So we get him there, and suddenly the conversation goes from his leg being a problem to we're seeing signs of congestive heart failure. So we're like, oh, okay. So they admit him, and he got admitted into the hospital. And so he spent he spent basically all of last week in the hospital. About Wednesday, things were kind of back under control, and they were going to be doing an echocardiogram to just kind of determine what they kind of had already kind of figured out, and do a stress test on his heart as well. So I'm going to fast forward a little bit, skip you some of the dramatics. He did have a heart pump problem in that his heart was not pumping the amount of volume it should. It should normally have been pumping roughly around 50% of the blood flow in the one area, and it was only doing about 35%. That was leading to fluids forming in his lung, in his legs, and it was basically the catalyst to everything. And so they ended up doing an angiogram, which is just amazing technology. They went in through right above his thumb on his wrist, up into his heart from there, identified the blockages, inserted stents, and then retracted. He has just a small incision through his frickin' thumb, and they were able to repair the clogged arteries and resume, you know, get the heart back to full functionality, if you will.
Pump up the volume.
Yeah. So, you know, we kind of figured, okay, at that point, and this was going into Thursday, that we were kind of out of the woods, but we're talking to the doctor Thursday morning. We're like, look, his primary care physician had wanted to do a CT scan because originally they had seen a little bit of like kind of the liver looked like it was a little enlarged. And so the doctor at the hospital was like, well, you know what, we could reschedule that because it was supposed to happen this past Wednesday. She's like, but we'll just reschedule it for an outpatient CT. And we're like, well, you know, look, He's 80 years old. It's snowing up there. I don't want him going back and forth between the hospital. He's there now. Let's get the CT done. Let's see what we see. And if it's nothing great, we can be done with it. But, you know, why not just do it then and there instead of making him go back and forth?
Right.
So they did the CT scan. My dad has prostate cancer.
Oh, man.
So the fortunate news out of this is that, one, we caught it. And that, you know, the doctor apologized profusely. She was just like, I honestly did not expect to see this. And that was because all of his blood work was coming back in a way that wasn't really reflective of somebody having cancer going on. So it is treatable with a pill. And quite honestly, prostate cancer for guys is one of those cancers you can actually live with. It's not a death sentence by any means. He is basically, there's a testosterone inhibitor that he'll be taking that will, because prostate cancer really feeds off testosterone, and that's how it spreads and grows. And so you cut the supply of the food off, and that will help kind of kill off the prostate cancer and stop it in its tracks so it can't spread any further.
Okay.
So yeah. So that was
on Cindy and the whole family.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. You know, that was the week. It was just insane. It was like one thing after another. And turns out, no leg injury, no hip injury, but things we found out just by blind luck.
Right.
And you know rattles home and puts everything into perspective of what's important in life too.
It does. It absolutely does. Dad is now back home. Good. He is doing well. And, you know, he's got 5 gazillion new medications he has to take. One of my sisters went back up there. I drove back home on Wednesday through the snow. It was kind of crazy. I think I just beat chain controls them shutting down the highway. Because we've had crazy winter storms here on the West Coast now. Well, actually, all of North America has pretty much been under snow.
Videos yesterday from Utah with 500 inches of snow or something this season.
It's been crazy.
Houses buried.
Yeah. So that was the trip in a nutshell. To go see my parents and get dad seen.
I'm glad he's okay, and I'm glad you're doing okay.
I appreciate that. You know. You just got to stay positive to this kind of stuff. Mm. So that being said, in my haste to pack, you know what I did pack? My Steam Deck. Good. And let me tell you, that was an absolute savior. Worked fantastic. Played some games while I was up there on the deck. I did catch. Real quickly, The Bad Batch, The Last of Us. If you haven't been watching either of these shows, The Bad Batch is a Star Wars animated cartoon series based off kind of the Clone Wars era. Really good animated series. So I highly recommend, especially if you like Star Wars, you'll enjoy this. So that's on Disney Plus. Last of Us on HBO. It follows the storyline of The Last of Us game pretty faithfully. I will say this, and what I liked, because I was wondering how they were going to handle this, because if you recall, you play The Last of Us, you're like a murder machine. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you face hordes and hordes of not only, you know, zombie creatures, but also, you know, human AI, enemies. Yeah. And they alluded to some of it, but they actually have pulled it back to much more realistic levels. There are certain people that will be killed in the show, but it's not hundreds. It's a couple here, a couple there, with the insinuation of that there are, you know, gangs and a whole bunch of people, but you're not being Superman and just taking it all on, which I really like that. I think it makes it realistic. I've been enjoying The Last of Us on TV for sure. Did catch the movie Burlesque. I'd never seen it before. This is with Christina Aguilera and Cher. I liked it. I didn't hate it. Now, granted, there's a lot of eye candy on screen as you're watching this movie.
Makes sense. Yeah. I just don't like it because my sister went through a phase. She watched that movie like a fucking day. And, oh, God. Nope.
Yeah, no. So we caught that last night. And, you know, Enjoyable. I did also watch Avatar. Cindy and I had a date night on Thursday night. Ironically, we ended up going to the movies and watched the new Avatar movie. It was A Way of the Water.
Yeah,
it's good, but it's not. It was just kind of.
Yeah, it's lost its fizz. It's not. Yeah, you know everything. It's just.
Well, it almost felt like it was kind of like rinse and repeat of the first movie. Mm. It's, you know, they give a couple new twists. But it was, in a sense, the story of the first movie is the story of the second movie, which is humans are assholes and we will do everything we possibly can to destroy a planet and a population. It really does paint a very bad picture of the human race, which I feel is a bit. I mean, you can make the argument, sure, there are bad apples within the human race. We see it every day. You just have to turn the news on. But right. I'd like to think we would not be that bad. And then lastly, just Vegas prep continues. We're looking forward to the Vegas trip. I have started my spreadsheet. I've been lots of different options for things for us to do. The next step, honestly, is going to be for us to get a consensus of some things we want to do and schedule them up.
Well, it's funny. Some friends of ours dropped out to the house last night for a couple of hours, and they're heading out in 6 weeks. It's about two years odd late because of COVID. But I was saying to her, look, you know, I'm watching all these YouTube videos, and they're saying, look, if you want to go somewhere nice to eat, book it now.
Yeah.
Nice restaurants. And she sent me, when I was driving down here tonight, I got a little snapshot through that she'd booked Brewdog.
Okay.
A new Brewdog place. And
yep,
so,
yep.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll have to get to that this week. Absolutely.
Okay.
Can't wait.
Yeah, no. No, well, let's just transition over to you, Robin. What's been going on your side?
Well, I'm down here in Killarney again. I've got a repeat for a different batch of people, the conference I was at about 4 weeks ago. It's about a six-hour drive. It's a hell of a horrible drive. It's motorway nearly for all of it, but the last 100 miles is a single-lane road over mountains and stuff, and I didn't stop. I just did it in one blast. In fact, to the point at 4 hours, the car went, take a break, and I'm going, no, I've only got 2 hours to go. No, I can do it. No. So yeah, I'm down here, and again, I had this conference, and then back up the road tomorrow night again. So I'll be like a big wet, floppy, tired rag with eyes popping out of my head on Tuesday.
How's that different from any other day?
So this morning before I left, I was looking for an audiobook to listen to on the way down, because some of the stuff I've listened to recently hasn't been great.
Right.
But this is an Andy Weir book, who was the Martian.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
And the book is called Hail Mary.
Yep.
Okay.
And Ray Porter, who is the narrator, you would know him, Greg, from the Bob books.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
Bob Universe. And brilliant narration. And it has a feel of the Bob books. So it's sort of a flashback. This guy wakes up, sort of not, can't remember anything. He works out, he's in a spaceship. There's something bad happening to Earth. He has to go. And yeah, it's good. And it's funny. Very well done. Okay. It's about 14 hours, and I'm about 6 hours into it on the way down the road there today. And usually when I listen to something like that, I would listen for a couple of hours and then change the radio or something else. But this had me captivated that whole trip. So if you're looking for a new audiobook, Hail Mary is very good. And the ship is called Hail Mary. It's a Hail Mary for Earth sort of thing. So, yeah, very cool. Very good. Just yesterday, I didn't expect it to arrive. So, as you know, I'm building a little podcast studio for my wife and her sisters and a guest to do a podcast on fostering. So that little corner, so the table thing that I got for them, it's been built. The microphones and the new all have arrived. The microphone arms have arrived. All the big long XLR cables have arrived. I've curtained off this area. I think I sent you some photographs. I've curtained off this area.
Right, right. And now you realize, Robin, I know you're trying to contain it with the curtain. That's the thought there. That's not going to work. The right. Days of your man cave being your man cave are numbered
tonight. Well, but you know what? They're completely nervous about this and freaked out about this whole thing. So I'm trying to make it comfortable enough for them.
Oh yeah, no, I get it. And but once they're done, they're going to go to the fingers couch.
I know.
They're going to be opening wine. They're going to lounge in the cave.
It'll be fun.
And
it's good going. Well, the nerd part of me is enjoying the technical side of getting it all done. So I'd ordered a Rodecaster Pro, which is this fabulous mixing desk with four XLR inputs and really, really simple to use. So the idea is that it connects to the computer, but the computer doesn't need to be on because it has a micro SD card in it as well. So literally they come in, switch it on and hit a big button that says record. And that should be it. So they don't need me. That's the simplicity of it. So when I get back, I was putting trunking in today because I want the cables to go up through the roof of the man cave and pop down on my desk so the Rodecaster is on my desk so I can use it as well for us too. But that's coming together. And through the week then we got
another. Did I hear correctly they're going to be recording tonight?
No, it's not ready yet. It's another week or so away before I get all the cabling and levels and all the bits and pieces done. So, but it'll be ready in about a week. I should have it all cabled up.
Now, you do know what's going to happen.
What?
The first trip you make where they are recording on their own, all hell is going to go.
Yep.
going to go sideways. You're going to get the phone calls.
Do I have to have this microphone in my face? Because, there's four microphones and they'll be sitting there around this little table and it's going to be odd for them for a while. But I hope they get into it because I think it'll be good.
Martin in the chat is also agreeing with me in the man cave. It's over, Robin. It's over.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of kids, we had more kids come in this week. So our house is just nutty. We had a 13-year-old girl and a 7-year-old girl added. So there's 9 people in the house in total at this moment in time when we're all there, and it is full on. Now, the new kids are great. They're originally Polish. The elder girl looks a little bit and very much sounds like Greta Thunberg, which is quite strange. I really must get her to say, how dare you?
How dare you?
Yes. So, and funny, the young one, which is a real cute wee thing, but she's been brought up on TV. She's been looked after by an iPad or a screen, and it's amazing how much of her speech is Americanized. The American accent comes through so much, and that's just been brought up on sit there and watch TV.
Now, see, you say that in a negative way, and I'm thinking, well, that's kind of positive.
Yeah, you know, it's quite sad. It is quite sad. Even sadder that their mother is in the hospital.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Self-inflicted liver failure, and their father and mother haven't broke up, but the father wasn't interested in looking after them.
This is the positivities corner on the podcast.
No, they're great kids, and they're lovely to have, and it's a busy house, so great. More the merrier. Bring them in. I'm here today. I'm here tonight at the conference tomorrow, back up the road, and that's just busy life, just good. It's good. I mean, there's no major dramas at the moment. It's life is good, and I think we get the first rushes of the TV recording, the commercial, sometime next week. So that'll be interesting to see that then as well. And so, yeah,
that's so exciting stuff.
That's our life.
Wow. All right, Kim, that's a lot of you. We've gone through a lot so far. Anything on your end, Kim? What's been going on with you?
A few things, that's all. I want to call out my nephew Owen. He's 3. He gave me his cold. He's done that twice this year.
You're welcome.
Right? The little shit needs to learn to just keep the stuff to himself, but he somehow just can't. So anyway, I haven't been on here, what's it been, a couple of weekends? Anyway, and I have a new gadget to talk about. I got a new gadget, and I can actually show this on camera. Anyway, I got the
if it vibrates, we do not want to see it.
Well, technically, it does vibrate, right. But anyway, it is the Razer Edge 5G. I went through because we have Verizon, and of course, they're available through Verizon. So I thought, why not? They're offering a deal right now where instead of the $16 a month, I think you can get it for $10. So actually, when by the time I'm done paying this thing off, instead of paying $600 for it, I'll only have paid $360 for it. So I thought, okay. Hey, deal. Yeah. So anyway, I picked this up because I thought, you know, I definitely wanted the Steam Deck. But for me, I'm going to have to save up for that. So that's going to be a little bit down the road. This, I can add on to my cell phone plan, have it right now. I can test it out, you know, because all I want, and I know, it looks, people have looked at it, and they have bitched and moaned that, well, it's just a Kishi version 2 with a tablet, which is what it is. But the thing is, I don't like gaming on my phone. Never have.
Touchscreen stuff.
Yeah. Well, I don't blame you. Not like that. Just gaming on my phone, even with a controller, like doing the xCloud thing, because that's battery life, and that I need for calls and text messages and that sort of thing. So anyway, so that, well, fuck it. I'll give it a shot. And the only difference between this one and the one you can buy outright is this one has 2 gigs more RAM, I think. And of course, so you can.
Does it have its own power supply? Does it have batteries in it as well?
It's like your phone or a tablet. You plug it in, you charge it up, that sort of thing.
But what I mean is it's not using your main battery power from your phone.
No. See, it's
That was actually my question. So, Kim, the middle screen, that's actually a dedicated screen for the device, correct?
Right. See.
Does it come out?
Yes.
Or is it? Oh, okay.
Oh, I saw. Well, I thought this was something you plugged your phone into.
And this is the Kishi part of it.
Right.
Oh, yes. Okay. Sorry, I thought
for your phone.
Okay.
Yeah, so see, I can still have my phone, which I could probably still use this on my phone if I wanted to, but I don't want to. So anyway, yeah, it's just basically a tablet. It's got a Snapdragon chip in it, which apparently is like one of the bigger, better things. It's basically like a mini computer, other than like the Steam Deck you could actually download games on, you know, and play it. This I can, because it's Android, so I can go to like the Google Play Store and download a game on it and play it. So anyway, I've had it for about 2 weeks. I've been trying it out.
Pros and cons, Kim. Give us the pros and cons.
Well, I don't really have too many cons, other than when the battery does run out, it takes forever to charge. But, you know, that's just me being impatient, because I'm the same way with my tablet or my phone or my laptop, whatever.
Now, question on that. Can you not play it while it's plugging in and charging?
Yes, you can.
Okay, just double check.
It just takes forever to, you know, charge up while you're doing it. But I also have the habit of when I'm done with it, I don't leave it on. I turn it off. So that way it's not, because they do say that with it being plugged into the controller, it will eat battery more, if that makes sense. So another con being, and this is kind of a superficial little bitty thing, and it's that way with all new tech, is out of the box, nobody makes a screensaver or a case for it or anything like that. So I had to wait a couple of weeks before I could even get a screensaver that would fit it, because, you know, I don't want to scratch this thing or something, you know. But I did finally get a screen protector for it. I still haven't got a case, but I did find out the OG Switch cases, the big ones, it will fit. So that's been my go-to for now.
Okay.
Positive things. Xbox Remote Play works. The xCloud, of course, it works. I got Steam Link to work with it. And cool. I paid $5, I think, for an app that's called PS Play that will allow me to remote play my PlayStation games on it. Because the PlayStation actual OG remote play app will work, but it's only touchpad. It's only touchscreen. And I suck at touchscreen. I'm not going to lie. Unless it's like Clash of Clans or something like that that's built for that. If I'm trying to play like an Xbox game or something with touchscreen, I'm terrible at it. So anyway, I paid $6 for this app. The only thing that kind of bothered me a little bit is it brings up the PlayStation website so you can sign into your account. But according to the guy that created the app, it doesn't keep any of your information. Just that you used it to sign into your, you know. But it doesn't keep your email or your password. And it's got really good reviews. And there was even, I read some articles on it from gaming, you know, websites that they even use it. So they're not apparently scared of it either. But anyway, it works. So I can even remote play my PlayStation games. So yeah, they do make a Xbox app, remote play app. So I may end up taking a punt for $6 and trying it out and see if it works better than the OG Xbox app. But we'll see. But like I said, all in all, for 2 weeks, I'm happy with it. And supposedly, which I haven't taken it anywhere away from my house to play it, but supposedly I can even play my stuff even when I'm not at home. I mean, Steam I can't unless I leave my computer running. But like my Xbox games and stuff like that, I should still be able to play even if I'm away from home. So we'll see one of these days.
Yeah. But for that would make sense because, well, especially with the xCloud stuff.
Right.
It's all based off your account. And right. So I don't know that the Xbox has instituted yet remote play of xCloud games you own versus right. just what's in the service on the Game Pass service. Know. But right. you definitely can play Game Pass for sure. I guarantee right. you that.
Well, that's it. And even though I don't have 5G in my little podunk town, for 4G, it still works really well. And when okay. even if I'm using my Wi-Fi, it still works really well. Now, it does occasionally crash, but you know what? It would do the same thing on my phone. So that right. doesn't really, you know, that doesn't really bother me any at all. So, okay. yes, the Razer Edge, whether you get the 5G or the Wi-Fi, I personally like the 5G because I don't like public Wi-Fi necessarily because, you know. Uh-oh.
Oh, security. It can be so spotty. It's also right. so spotty. It's like sometimes it's you know, fast. Other times it's laboriously slow.
Right, exactly. So anyway, I don't know. Like I said, we'll see. I got it for like $360 bucks.
It's a kid.
And if you, like I said, if you're going to Verizon and you need a phone, they'll even throw that in and you'll get it even cheaper. So, you know, there's a lot of people that are like, well, I don't get it. It's for cloud gaming, yada, yada, yada. But if you're somebody like me that doesn't like to game on your phone, this is perfect. So yep. it makes total sense to me.
Okay. So, you know what I also like compared to the other, the Kishi, is that it actually has a solid back.
Yes.
Because the original Razer you know, controller that uses your phone,
right.
it was like a band in the back yep. of it. And I hated that. I wanted right. something that was actually somewhat rigid because it just it feels better.
Right. It's more supportive.
Yep.
Yeah. Not to bring the bra thing into it, but yeah, it's more supportive. But yeah, and I mean, it's got haptic feedback. There is a spare button up here by the triggers that you can program to be another button. So I haven't all got into all that yet. But like I said, so far I'm liking it. I mean, I can even bring up my Kindle because it is a tablet. I can detach it from the Kiji and use it like my phone and read a book on it. So I mean, it works for me. So there's my 15-minute review of the Razer Edge thing. You know, if that's something you're into, and I mean, yeah, I could have got the $400 Steam Deck and it'd have been fine too, but really for me, this does what I wanted. So, we'll see how it goes. If all else fails and I decide I hate it, I can be like Robin and put it on my shelf and have a nice piece of kit for my gaming collection. So,
I'm just really glad it wasn't purple and vibrating.
No shit, right?
Yeah.
So, other than that, oh, and I've joined TikTok, and there is a reason for that. Because I actually honestly hated TikTok and didn't give a shit. But I started watching this guy called B. Dylan Harris. Hollis. And it's funny, he's a baker. And he will go back into like Depression era cookbooks and like cookbooks your grandmother had and will make the weird off the wall recipes. And he's fucking hilarious. And maybe that's part of the appeal. And otherwise he makes this really gross shit that sometimes works out and sometimes it's terrible. So if you're into like them cooking things like I am, he's on Facebook now. He's got an Instagram and he's on TikTok. And I mean, I sat there last night and for like a good hour and just laughed my ass off. And Dad just looked at me and he's like, what are you watching? I'm like, a cooking show. So, you know. So Dylan Hollis is his name. And he's from Bermuda, I guess. But he's hilarious as hell. So
okay. Dylan Hollis. There's another guy, Sam the Cooking Guy, that I like to watch. He has a big outdoor grill. So right. he just could do all kinds of crazy things. But he just likes to do like, I didn't want to call it comfort food. It's just outlandish right. things that's going to give you a heart attack, but it's right. just fun to watch.
Well, that's what this is. Like today I watched one where he made a bologna cake and I thought, oh my God, what kind of hell is this? And basically all it is was a pound of bologna that you layered mayonnaise in between and then used a can of spray cheese as decoration. So it looked like a gigantic, it looked like a cake, but it was a pound of bologna. So yeah, it was from like a... Yeah,
that is disgusting. is disgusting.
We thought the same thing, but it was like from a cookbook back in like the 50s or the 60s or something. Because, you know, we've all had those cookbooks from our grandparents or whatever. And some of the recipes you look through it and you're like, when the fuck would you eat that? You know, this is kind of the pathway he goes down. Some of the things turn out great and some of the things are like your bologna cake.
Okay.
So. Yeah.
Bologna so, cake. I will pass.
One more thing. I have this moral dilemma going on at the moment. With Corsair and Elgato. So I maybe mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. I ordered another XLR mic, a good one for,
yes.
for me. So the Elgato podcast mic, it's about £109. And I ordered it while outside in a client's place waiting for an appointment. And I ordered it on my phone and paid for it with my Curve credit card, which is like an all-in-one credit card with all my cards in it. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I seen the payment went through on the card, but I didn't get an email confirmation for the order, which you would mm-hmm. usually get almost instantly. And I gave it a day and I got, oh, okay, well, I don't have a confirmation. Have they really ordered this? And I checked my credit card statement that there was the payment. So I contacted their support department. This is now again about 2 weeks ago. To say, hey, ordered this, didn't get an order confirmation. Can you tell me, is my order on? And they said, well, what date and time was it? And do you have a snapshot of your bank statement thing? So I done that and sent it off, gave them the exact time, the exact card, and never heard anything more back for quite a few days there. Mm-hmm. And as I looked at my credit card statement again, the payment fell off. It never actually went through. Didn't fail, but it was in the pending area.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then it wasn't charged. So about 3 or 4 days ago, I got another email in from their support department apologizing profusely for the horrible shopping experience that I've had with Corsair and Elgato. And of course, he will immediately send the mic out by super fast post the next day. And yesterday or day before yesterday, I got the email through with tracking information from DHL to say that this mic is on its way to me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's due to arrive sometime this week.
But so your dilemma is, do you call them back saying, hey, the charge no longer appears on my statement?
Yeah.
This could be one of two things. One, just they screwed up again in an error within their system and they, you know, reversed the payment. Mm-hmm. Or they actually are purposely reversing the payment and they're just going to give it to you for free because it was all a boondoggle to begin with.
Yeah. Right.
That's where I'm going to fall down on that one. I can square that circle with that.
I'm right there with you.
Yeah. I'd like to think that the latter is the reality. Since it was there pending and then it fell off, I mean, that happens on their end. There's nothing that you're doing to make that disappear off your charge. Right. So
you tried to pay for it. So, yeah. I mean, you know.
Okay, well, I'll take that.
Now, it could get to you, similar to my package arriving to you with a cost due.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, there we go. Right. That's what we've been up to.
Okay.
What have we been playing?
All right, let's talk about some video games. I'm sure the audience would love to hear about what we have been playing. So, Robin,
I'm going first here.
You're going to go first. You had big news from yours.
I have been playing on my rig, on my PC, Assetto Corsa Competizione now for coming on to 7 months. And during that time, I have had good times and bad times, but the best result I had was, again, up to a week or so ago there, at a second place. And last week I had another second place, which was fabulous. I did a stream, I think it was last Monday night, and in pure Robin fashion, the stream failed after 5 minutes. And I was wondering why there was no viewers, but I chatted away and streamed the whole thing myself anyway and got a second place. Just a couple of nights ago, we tried the stream again. We got everything going, and I won my first race on LFM.
Oh, nice!
Yes, and that actually is what I have up on screen right now. This is your winning race.
Oh, flip me. Talk about pressure. So I have led a few weeks ago. I led a race for a while and conceded to second because I just couldn't keep up with the guy. But this race here, qualified in sixth or seventh, and had a couple of really good moves, but within the first 10 minutes of the 25 minutes race, I was in the lead in the dark and had
just going to say, this is a night race.
Going, oh my goodness.
It's tough.
I wish this was over because mm-hmm. not only do you have the pressure of being out front, but you also have the pressure of 9 people at that stage watching my stream. And God bless them. They kept the chat to a minimum where they would used to be chatty chatty. And even afterwards, they were, you know, like, oh my goodness, can I breathe again after 15 minutes? And when I review back the video of me coming over the finishing line, just like the Hulk a few weeks ago with anger, this is pure joy. I looked like a man in a washing machine. I was almost overcome to tears. And I know it's crazy, but it's lovely to see the progression of that mm-hmm. and coming through. And what that does to me in this championship now, out of the 2,700 odd people in my league, I'm now 75th, which is, I think, pretty cool. So, yes, thank you, Indianapolis. Thank you, America. President's Day and all that there. It was just the perfect track for me.
Yeah, I've sped up and then had to rewind a little bit to find the moment as you're coming through the finish line. So it'll be up here. Your fuel level was low, by the way, when you.
Oh, yeah. Nice. I cut down to a few liters just to that's you calculate how much fuel you take on board and you want to have it. <that's possible.
laughs> Yeah. Watching you right now, Robin, you're shaking the wheel. You're all excited. Nice.
Yeah, that was cool. So that was great. So yes, this week we're in Hungaroring, which is a tiny little track in Europe. And I'll see. I haven't done any practice on it. My little team members in Bongo Racing, which is part of the new racing league that I've set up in LFM. There's more members joining, so thank you, people. Thank you, people that watch the streams. Step J and Martin and the guys that all drop in, just loving it. So just loving my racing. So yeah, really, really cool. But that's it. That's what I've been at. Like, a couple of Excellent. Really good sessions.
Nice. I love to hear it, Robin. I am quite proud of you. This has been an adventure. It's been a rabbit hole for you, going all in on this, and it's paying off. It's exciting to watch. So good job.
Indeed.
Cool. All right. Well, speaking of paying off, Kim.
Yes.
Let's talk about some of the games you have been playing.
Already. There's been a few, thanks to my little gadget there. I played some more multiplayer from Modern Warfare 2 here the other night. What's it been? 2 weeks ago, when you were supposed to come on and you know, whatever.
Right.
We did that. I had some fun.
I'm assuming doing Boomer, it again. Boomer and you were, cohorts and partners in crime.
Oh yeah, kicking ass, taking names, dying, dying all the time. But yeah, so we did that. I plan on doing it again. I just didn't this last couple of weeks between work and snot and being sick and yeah.
A little but, too much information.
I know, but hopefully maybe by the end of this week, maybe by Friday, I'll feel better and we can plan something. Because after this weekend, I'm supposed to have more weekends off till the 25th. So hopefully. Other than that, I'm testing out my Steam Link, which I can also connect to my TV, which is nice. I played Warhammer 40,000 Space Marines, which came out for the Xbox,
years ago.
2000-something.
Anyway,
I enjoy this game. I never actually finished it on the 360. I bought it on Steam last year, I think, when it was like the anniversary edition. It was cheaper than hell, and you got all this stuff. So I thought, well, you know what? Here's my chance to finally finish it. Because I did enjoy the game. I just, you know how it is. You get a game, you start it, then the next cool and shiny thing comes out that you're really into, and somehow or another, the last game you were really into kind of falls by the wayside, and you don't get back to it.
And this is third person, right? Third person. Yes. It's almost kind of like Gears, right?
It is. It's very much like Gears. Okay. They even have a chainsword that is very much, you know. So it's nice. I mean, even Anthony liked it. He thought it was fun. And I can play it on my Razer Edge, which is nice, too. So, yes, a little bit of Space Marines, and I'm going to try to finish it, Phil. Do not lose hope. I will finish this, and, you know, because I'm excited for the new Space Marines. So I'm ready for the sequel as well. On another note, I played some Pillars of Eternity, kind of testing things out here the other day. I didn't get very far, but I did play some, so I guess that counts. And last but not least, Tank Top's current favorite game, Hi-Fi Rush. I started that the other day on my little gadget, and I'm enjoying it. I have no fucking rhythm at all up front. No fucking rhythm. But I'm liking it. It, you know, for a while there, I was getting pretty much C's and D's. But now I'm getting up there and I'm getting some B's and some A's. So I'm tickled at that.
You know, Kim, I completely just put that all to the side. I never paid attention to what my grades were. I was just getting through, you know, each level. So I finished the game.
Right.
Came in around 17 hours total, which for me, that's kind of perfect. That's a good sized game. It's not too short. It's long. What I like about this game, and I'm sure you're experiencing this, Kim, is there's always something it's adding. It never feels like you have everything you have and then you're just going through the end of it. It really kind of is always adding little layers as you go along, whether it be different characters, different abilities. And so it's a joy to play. It is a genuine fun game. I love the cartoon animation. I love the story, the voice acting. It is all excellent.
It's really good. Yeah.
Way better than it should be.
Right. Despite Mark and his poo-pooing of it.
Yeah, and I guess here's a question for you, because, you know, Mark was like, oh, it looks like anime. There's some anime overtones to it. You know, you can see a little bit of the influence.
Right.
But I never felt like I was being subjected to, like, overt Japanese anime. Right. I did Monster Hunter. That is overt Japanese anime. Right. This is so far from that, it's not even funny.
Well, yeah, because you're not packing around a gigantic sword, and there's not a bunch of chicks with ginormous boobs and that sort of thing. So,
don't leave out those.
Yeah, okay, but for me, that holds no appeal. I mean, you know, I got boobs. I could care less about anybody else's. I don't know. I'm liking it. I like that you can, you know, pet the cat, that sort of thing. I don't know. Call me weird, whatever. I did realize, though, that did you get all the collectibles?
Not all the collectibles. There's quite a few in there.
Yes. Because I realize there's a private investigator or an investigator of some sort. And apparently that he's in different locations and you're supposed to be able to find him everywhere. So that was a new one by me. I didn't know.
I did not know that either. I know that there are also, as you're going through the game, you'll find murals like spray painted on the wall. You collect those and there's a big mural in the hideout.
Yep.
That it starts to fill in, which is kind of a cool idea. And so eventually there's a giant picture that will be filled in if you collect all of them.
Right.
I kind of didn't start doing that until halfway into the game. And then at that point, I was just like, well, you know, if I find it, I find it. If I don't, I don't.
Right. Exactly. I'm trying to think what else. The little chests. I got like one of those and now I'm in the lava area. And there's one there, and I kid you not, I'm having a hell of a time unlocking that fucker. So I don't know what exactly I'm missing. Because the first one, I pretty much just mashed the buttons, and he unlocked. And I'm like, hey, all right. But this one, no, it's not happening for me. So I don't know what I'm missing.
So what ultimately those chests, so there are some like quick time event things that will happen in the game. And there, in particular, it's going to be what I kind of call the boss battle kills.
Right.
And that one particular treasure chest type, which you have to mash the X button to get it over the meter mark.
Right.
And then once you get over that meter mark, there then is going to be either a button or button sequences that you have to time and hit properly to get it to unlock.
Gotcha. All right. Man, that's the first one I'm missing.
The first one is easy because it's just mash over the meter. And once you get over the meter, it opens up. After that, all of them will have kind of the, you know, you have to time it to do that last button press.
Gotcha. That's what I'm missing then, because I can never see it when it flips up there at the end. I get to the little spot and then it flips up. But by the time I try to figure out what button it is, it's gone and I got to start over. So I'm enjoying it. I liked, what was her name? Rekka? Is it Rekka? Rika? Whatever the hell her name was. I did like her. I did enjoy like kicking her ass, though, just about as much. But she was interesting. So I don't know. I don't know. I want to say it's almost Borderlands-y with the characters kind of the way they are because they're over the top.
Yep.
And so they kind of remind me a little bit of Borderlands characters too. But like I said, Hi-Fi Rush, I'm enjoying it. And it was free on Game Pass like day one. So, you know, you're not out of anything if you try it. You don't like it. Unlike Mark, who absolutely refuses to play it. So, but yet he likes to talk about it when everybody else is talking about it. But he doesn't want to play it.
Mark, okay, you've been put on notice.
We see you. So anyway, that's been it for me. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Excellent. Let me do a little quick transition here.
Sure. Hopefully it's not painful.
Yeah, no. So ironically, Pillars of Eternity is very similar to Celesta, which is one game another game I finished this past week. I was on a roll. So I did finish Celesta, and I'll pull up some gameplay for that. Clocked in 83 hours on this.
Nice.
It is a big RPG, tactical turn-based RPG fantasy setting. It's D&D on the screen. Now, what I do like in terms of like the final game, and also we should probably talk about Hi-Fi Rush. When you finish it, you can go back into it to do kind of collect things back up, if you will.
Oh, good deal.
So there is some kind of additional gameplay beyond just the story. Mm-hmm. And then with Celesta, it really is a self-contained story that ends. Mm-hmm. However, you can take the characters from your party, and there are other community member built campaigns and maps that you can play. There's a multiplayer that you can do. I don't think I would do the multiplayer, to be perfectly honest, but the campaign, the community based stuff sounds kind of cool. And also there's DLC campaigns that they have released. So just kind of like with D&D, you can buy another module and play another campaign, and you can import your characters into that or utilize new characters, however you want to set that up. So it scratched the itch for me. Turn-based D&D, perfect. I was all for it, happy with it.
Phil's D&D stuff coming back again.
Oh, absolutely. And this was kind of the substitute for that, because we haven't had, a session in a long time. So this kind of
really need to have one. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. So the last game we'll talk about is the game that is, of course, at the center of some controversy with regards to Ukraine and Russia, and that is Atomic Heart. So I've spent a little bit of time in this game, and so this is not going to be a game of the year. The cons, I'll just get those out of the way real quickly. The story, the voice acting, it's a bit up and down. The story itself is straightforward, a bit Bioshocky. You're in this futuristic world where, in this version of the future, Russia has kind of emerged as the leader. They were the ones that really spearheaded the winning of World War II, and they have emerged as the mega superpower of the world. And so you have this utopian Russia that they're putting on display. But it's interesting because, I know that, we talked about the news story, and they were talking about, Russia propaganda with this. I actually don't get a sense of like Russian propaganda. It's just kind of part of the story. It's a Bioshock-esque story in that, you're in this utopian, wonderful world, and then you're going to, at some point,
carry your red card. I know you do.
I know. Shit's going to go sideways. The robots kind of go bonkers, and that's really, it's much like Bioshock, right? The world falls apart, and suddenly what you thought was the perfect world really has a lot of problems underlying it, and led to this, mass problem. This game visually is gorgeous. For such a small team to do what they have done, and you're seeing a sense of it. This is the opening sequence where you're going down this river, and you're just kind of taking in the world. It's pretty well thought out. They have a lot of little attention to detail elements, like when you're shooting a gun, like that extracts ammunition like a shotgun. You'll hear the ammunition hitting the ground. When you're attacking a robot, whether it be with your gun or with a like an axe, you'll see where your hits damage. It's mostly cosmetic on the robot, but you see it, and it stays. It doesn't just disappear. So, those little touches I love. It does feel, again, very Bioshocky to me in kind of how it presents and how you go through it. It's a very linear story. There's a lot of cutscenes and some weird choices. There's an upgrade robot I'll call it refrigerator, for lack of a better way to put it, where you go to get your upgrades. And there's a version of it called Nora. who is like, she's like hyper sexualized, like everything she's like, it's like she wants to do you the entire time. It's just very weird, very like, okay, somebody that designing this really was horny, because this robot, just everything she says is like a double innuendo, and it's just like, okay, well, I get it. Funny the first time, kind of annoying after that. Combat is tough. And so I'm playing it on normal, but I can see myself dropping it down into the easy mode, because, there is ammo scarcity. You know, you're not just going to be able to go hog wild, just shoot the entire time. You're going to have to think about when you want to use your guns and when you want to, you know, use something like an axe instead. There's a lot of the upgrade systems within it, and it's not terribly intuitive in terms of how you go into the systems. Like at first, it's kind of walking through the tutorial and it's doing a pretty good job. And then suddenly it's like, okay, we're not going to hold your hand anymore. But like half the system still hadn't been explained. So to that, you know, there is a little bit of a learning curve. The dialogue itself, kind of getting back into that, it's weird because you're supposed to be in this Russian utopian society. And yet, for the most part, most of the characters don't have any kind of Russian accent. You know, the main character doesn't have a Russian accent. Now, granted, you're supposed to be some kind of like spy character coming into this society area, so I suppose you can explain that away. But there's this old lady that you encounter later on that, you know, again, seems like she's part of the society there, but she absolutely has a UK accent. And so it's just, it doesn't like feel like it gels kind of terribly well in that regard. But I can look past that because the gameplay, the visuals, that's what's really pushing me forward. A lot of just kind of really cool kind of moments. And there's a lot of tense, you know, again, the original BioShock kind of vibe to it. It's not horror, but you absolutely are just kind of like, you know, you're walking ahead. And because the robots and the enemies can be so lethal, there's this tense level to everything. And you're just, you know, you're on edge the entire time. So is it going to be my game of the year? No, probably not. Is this absolutely something I would recommend playing? Yeah, I really am enjoying what I've been playing so far. And I've probably put in maybe 2-3 hours into it so far. So, I mean, you know, I'm expecting about another kind of 15 to 20 hour gameplay experience.
Okay.
But yeah.
So communists.
Yeah. Communists. Yes, I do have her number for the record. I just saw the chat. Anyway, Atomic Heart, I would definitely put it on a recommend to check it out. Again, it's on Game Pass. I'm trying to remember what they're asking for full price. I don't know off the top of my head, but it maybe.
Rubles?
Yeah, if it's 30 rubles, I'd probably go for it. If it's, you know, 50, 60 rubles, yeah, maybe wait for a sale.
Okay.
So
I like the sex spot.
The sex bot was an added perk. I mean, it makes you laugh at first, you know, at least, you know, a little on the crude joke side of it. But then after a while, it's just like, okay, let's just get to the upgrades.
She wears on you a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. But yeah. Okay. Kim.
Yes.
We have not said hi to the chat so far, so we should do all that. Right. And then yes. I will have you read the wonderful email from John Wilson.
Oh, alrighty. I want to say howdy out there to the chat. We've had Boomer in there, Lord is in there, and Martin is in there. So thanks, y'all, for stopping by and keeping us entertained in the chat. It is much appreciated. So on that note, I will scroll up to John's email, because I scrolled right past it. Not sure why. Just did. I feel like we should be playing some sort of background music while I'm doing it. Taking me a while. Why the hell? All
right. Come on.
I know. All right, there it is. I got it.
This is
all right, yes, we have an email, believe it or not. I mean, you know, we didn't think we'd have an email, but here we are. It says, hi, lovely OC pod people. It's been a while, and I wanted to check in. What's the best fighting game ever, and why? Is the answer Soul Blade or Soul Edge for our non-Europe-based friends from the PS1? Love the show and still listen every week. Stay safe, stay healthy, and keep on keeping on. Peace and biscuit, bitches. Hold on, there's more here. Major Avenge, aka John Mouse. So,
yeah, right. Major
Avenge, best fighting game.
Yep. Oh goodness, yeah, he's so wrong. I mean, absolutely,
he's totally wrong. Right? He's absolutely wrong.
I've never actually heard of that thing. I don't think.
You know, he's an expert on these games, and you know, I'm no expert. I would have to say that Mortal Kombat 2 back in the PS3 and 360 is probably one of the very, very best. I mean, the first one gained that notoriety with its violence and over the top violence, but the sequel it gave it credibility as a fighting game. I mean, there were still plenty of shocking moments, John, but the gruesome fatalities and all of that stuff, but it was supported more by engaging combat mechanics, John. And so I think you're so wrong, you know. So it was stuffed to the brim with secrets, tongue-in-cheek alternatives to finishing your foes, you know, such as babalities and friendships and broke players, you know, it broke players' brains in the arcade. So I think you're very, very wrong. But I mean, even Mortal Kombat 2, I mean, it was good. But for me, the very best fighter of all time has to be PS4, Xbox One, which would be Street Fighter 3, Third Strike. I mean, you can't improve on worldwide phenomenon and a gene-breaking game like Street Fighter 2. But by implementing the techniques this genre had birthed since that momentous game, I mean, such as like throw teching and enhanced specials to create pitch-perfect pace over three renditions, then throwing in a powerful new catalyst, parrying. I mean, if you dare to risk
why,
it all.
Why do I feel like Robin has pulled up a wiki on this? And
so Street Fighter 3 Third Strike is the best game I've been caught. I don't know, Todd. I have a clue.
Kim, what about you? What do you think? Best fighting game you've ever played?
I don't really play fighting games, so I don't know. God, what was that one? Oh fuck. Isn't it on Game Pass now, even? It's an older one. I think it was even an arcade game at one time. It's got the dinosaur in it, and god damn it, I can't think. I had the name. It came out on the SNES too.
It's from Microsoft, actually, right? That's what you're talking about?
I think so. Yeah, I can't. But it had, I remember it had a dinosaur in it. And then, could you play it as it? Oh, God. Something Rage, maybe? Oh, God.
Yeah, it is. No, I'm going to. Killer Instinct.
Yes!
Yes.
That's probably not the best one, but that's the one I've played a lot, so I enjoyed it.
A lot of people have a lot of fondness for Killer Instinct. I think the Xbox version they put out for Xbox One was pretty good.
Right.
Oddly, they didn't support it, which I mean, they kind of killed it off after the Xbox One.
Right.
Yeah, no, I can see that. Yeah. You know, I've never been a huge fighting game person.
Right.
So I'm going to take this in a different direction. I'm going to go with a fighting game. But to me, the best fighting game I ever played was Fight Night. Fantastic boxing game. And it really kind of took boxing to a new level for you know, kind of next gen boxing. And I still to this day always remember Mike Chinn and I went in and I got a 10-second knockout on him. And to this day, I hold it over his head. It was a one punch knockout. We came running in. Bam. But yeah, I loved the Fight Night game series. I think, obviously iterations, and that's one of the things, you know, you could make the argument Street Fighter VI is probably going to be one of the best fighting games of all time, just because they refined it so much. The visuals are going to be over the top. It's going to be crazy good. But I kind of think about the original games and what was groundbreaking and what really kind of defined the genre. Street Fighter, I think, deserves a place in that.
Well, I have to say, back when I had my IT business many, many years ago, in our server room, we had a big, massive TV set up and a PlayStation 2. And in it constantly was one of the Tekken games. So whatever Tekken was on PlayStation 2. And for downtime, I mean, it wasn't Google head office here, but, you know, when the guys... girls wanted to go and let off a bit of steam at break time or just to step away from their computer for a while, we would go in and have Tekken battles, and that was great fun. And I think any of those games are good when you're in the room with somebody else I think it's a different level altogether when you're playing online seriously. But when
absolutely,
it doesn't really it doesn't matter which one it is. But when you're in a room with three or four people, a few beers and kicking the shit out of each other, that's always good fun. So yeah, thanks for that, John. Good lad.
Yeah, I think just down to a final footnote. You know, the one of the things I loved about Fight Night also. You know, it wasn't about just mastering the combos. It was about, you know, having your strategy. You couldn't tire your boxer out. You couldn't just throw haymakers constantly because you would tire out and then you were in trouble. Mm-hmm. Just like real boxing. And so I think that's one of the things I really loved about the Fight Night series.
Mike Tyson.
Yeah. No, there's that. That was talking about button combos and timing. Holy crap. Anyway, great question, John. Thank you for that. Would love to hear what the chat has to say. If you guys have a fondness for fighting games, if there's one in particular that stands out for you, by all means, throw it in the chat. Okay, where are we? Where are we at? Kim.
Yes.
We've got some new releases.
Not
nearly as big as last week. And how thankful are you that you were not on the podcast last week? Holy crap. Totally yes. Let's talk about it, though.
Alrighty, your new releases for February 26th through March 4th are Destiny 2 Lightfall for the PS5, Xbox Series X and S, PS4, Xbox One. No, not Stadia, because there is no more Stadia. And PC.
Wah, 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 wah.
On the 28th, I know there's a few that are looking forward to Destiny 2 Lightfall. I'm not one of them, because I got tired of the grinding early on and just gave up. Dungeons of Aether, maybe. For the PC on the 28th as well. Scars Above. That sounds painful. For the PS5, Xbox Series X and S, PS4, Xbox One, and PC on the 28th as well. Leap, which is probably how you got scars. But anyway, for the PlayStation 5, PS4, and PC, March 1st. Oh, Robin. I love you. Really, I do. We're going to go with it, but I know what it is. Wulong Pudong. It's actually Wulong Fallen Dynasty. For the PS5, Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC on March 3rd. And also, it's coming to Game Pass, so yes, I might even give that one a shot. So
also, there's a demo out for it now. Your progress carries forward. I have downloaded it. I wanted to try and get it in before we had the podcast. I did not get a chance to. So we'll have some thoughts on that next week.
Yeah, I'll give it a go, even though I'm not very Souls-like, because honestly, I get my ass kicked and get pissed off. But I will give it a shot.
I will be very honest. My anticipation of this is a lot of Japanese anime influence and Dynasty Warriors influence, which is not a good thing in my book. But we'll see. We'll see how this pans out.
Well, like I said, it's going to Game Pass. It won't cost us a fucking thing. So why not? So
it will nothing more than our monthly subscription. Absolutely.
Exactly. There you go.
All right. It's that time. Let's wrap this show up, put a bow on it, starting with Kim.
Alrighty. I've already shouted out the Shatters, so thank you all again for stopping by. It's really, really appreciated. Like I said earlier, Friday, hopefully, and if not Friday, it'll definitely be the weekend. I'm hoping on to get some Modern Warfare 2 multiplayer, so tank up. Anybody, if you want to hop on, I'm sure Boomer will be there, because we like to die together. I don't know if we're weird like that. So, yeah, if you want to play some Modern Warfare 2 and listen to me cuss like a pirate or whatever, come on, because I do. I tend to get a little ouchy when I die a lot or, you know, spawn camped and killed, and then I curse like a sailor. So, yeah, there's that. Otherwise, hopefully everybody has a good week. Hopefully I've lost this thing I've got going on with my voice. And over Robin.
Yeah, good to hear your dad's doing well, Greg. So that's your best wishes indeed to him. If you're on the roads in the UK and you see a registration plate, CT05 BOP, that's Charlie Tate 05, the year he was born, and he's called Charlie BOP.
That doesn't seem possible.
He is now on the road and he hasn't been home. One final little story. where Joshua used the car to get from A to B as a tool, Charlie is thoroughly enjoying his wheels, so he's out there. The 7-year-old that came with us is going to her first confession soon in the church that she goes to, and she has to practice a prayer. And in this prayer, Judith was helping, she has to memorize this. It's, "Oh my God, thank you for loving me. I'm sorry for all my sins, for not loving others and not loving you, and help me to live life like Jesus and not..." And she's just getting her to repeat this. And so I had her to go over it, and I'm saying, no, what you do is, when you say the line, "Help me live life like Jesus," this is, you say like this to the priest: "Help me live life like Jesus."
So she's gonna burn in hell, Robin.
And she went over with her again. And she did this to Judith. I said, Robin! I think that would be really good. Anyway, thanks for listening, everybody. You'll see me on my YouTube channel at some stage this week at A Horrible Little Track. And you'll get me at Bungo's Bits or Robin Tate on YouTube. And be safe, everybody, and have a wonderful week. And I'll catch you all next week.
All right. Well, thank you to the two of you for being on the show. Always a good time. Thank you to the listeners, the chat. We very much appreciate you guys being there. Need to shout out my sisters. So my sister, Cherie, where she lives, they have lost power as of Friday. They've been without power the whole weekend. It's been snowing there. It's averaging about 50 degrees in the house now. So just rough conditions for them. They can't actually leave because they don't actually have an all-wheel drive, four-wheel drive vehicle to get out of their home. And they live on a hill. The snow has been pretty, you know, it's been deep and icy. Apparently their neighbor tried to escape and they slid their car into their other neighbor's front yard. So, Godspeed to her. Also my other sister, Renee, who did kind of, you know, she was the tag team partner for me. She went up on Friday morning, I should say, drove all the way up in near whiteout conditions to get to my dad and help him get home from the hospital. And so she took what should have been a 2.5 hour drive, turned into about an 8 hour experience. So huge shout out, love to her for that. Shout out, of course, to my dad and my mom. Happy they are both together, comfortable and out of the hospital. So it's all good. Yeah. All right. On that note, come back next week. We'll be here, some version of this crew or somebody else, and we'll talk more video games.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. See you same time next week.